Now, I want you to notice Psalm 119, and the screen comes up again here so you can see the first slide. Possibly, unless the lights went out on that. Okay, they are up there. Okay. Yes, I want you to think with me tonight about how God revives His people. And I want you to think with me about revival tonight. Would you say what you see there in red? Say that line, "Revive me, O Lord, according to your word." Revival has to do with an infusion of new spiritual energy. I'd like to use tonight the word rejuvenation. The word rejuvenation suggests to make young again and youthful again. I did hear of a dear couple who lived out in the country, and one evening this man saw his wife swallow a pill. He said, "What was that?" She said, "Well, it's a youth pill. Helps to make you feel younger." "Oh," he said, "give me some of those." She said, "It's one a day." But he took half a dozen and he swallowed them right down. The next morning she woke up and her husband was not there. She wondered where he was. And she looked out the window, and there he was out in the front yard, leaning on the mailbox. She put on her house coat, ran out and said, "Honey, what's wrong?" And here he was weeping. He said, "I think I missed my school bus." Yeah, youth pills may work wonders for some, but I tell you, I hold in my hand a book that has the potential to make you feel and be young again, rejuvenated, revived. And I want you to think about this with me. As you look at that next slide, or the next click there, I want you to notice that in North America, did you realize North Americans spend billions of dollars to try to keep young? Health foods, diets, exercise programs, wellness literature, all of these things are used to try to help people keep young and get the youth flowing again. But as you notice in this next slide, God gives spiritual revival, renewal, re-energizing, and rejuvenation to make us young again. You remember the verse, Isaiah chapter 40, 31? "They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Wouldn't you like to feel like that again? Well, the scriptures can have that happen for you. There is no true rejuvenation, though, without revelation, the revealed word of God, according to your word. And in Psalm 119 tonight, we're going to see that phrase happen many times, according to your word, according to your word. Revive me, according to your word. The next line here says that in the King James Version, if you've got a King James Bible, it uses the word "quicken me." Now, that's a good old English term. You've heard the term "the quick and the dead," and that means the living and the dead. But to be quickened, in our language, the better word would be to use "revive me," as we see here in the New King James Version or in the New American Standard Bible. I want you now to read with me two stanzas of these 22 stanzas. If we took time to read the whole of Psalm 119, I did that once at Benton Street in a morning service. It took me 19 minutes to read all 176 verses, and I was foolish back in those days. I asked the people to stand for all of that. Can you imagine that? And they did. We didn't have anybody collapse and have to go to the hospital. But I'll let you remain seated. But I'd like you to read two stanzas with me, verses 25 through 40. And We'll put the words up on the screen so that we can all read from the same translation, which happens to be the New King James Version, because it uses the word revive me. You're going to see three times in these two stanzas what I've put there highlighted in yellow, revive me. And then notice in the red or the purple, the words that I've highlighted there are different words that are used for the Bible, such as word, statutes, precepts, law, judgments, testimonies, commandments. All of those are referring to the Bible. And there are 178 times in those 176 verses that you will see one of those words used referring to the Scriptures. Now, I'd like for you to read with me out loud, all of us. This is the first stanza that you see, starting with verse 25, and then the next slide will show us the next stanza. So there will be 16 Bible verses that you and I are going to quote or speak together now with a clear voice, and think about how wonderful this word is. Aren't you glad for the Bible? God's word. Let's speak it together now. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, so I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word. May I just give you some interesting quotes here about revival that others have spoken of. Here's one here. Revival, what is revival? Someone said, revival is a series of new beginnings. Isn't it interesting that as a church, we're right now at the beginning of a new beginning. It's not just the new year of church life, but we have our new pastor coming as Pastor Jonathan comes to give leadership to the ministries of what God is doing here. And revival is a series of new beginnings, not just one, but many new beginnings. Here's another thing that Roy Hessian, a great revivalist, said. Revival is not going down the street with a big drum. It is going back to Calvary with a big sob. Oh. Why is that? Because we recognize that we are all sinners, and apart from the grace of God, we've messed it all up. Wilbur M. Smith, now also with the Lord, said, a revival is from God or it is no revival at all. In other words, we can't whomp up revival, but we can pray it down. And God's the one who gives it to us. Vance Havner, I had the privilege of meeting Vance Havner some time ago. He now too is with the Lord, a great preacher. But he said, revival is God rending the heavens and coming down upon his people. And frankly, very few across North America know what that means in its full extent. Many of us know showers of blessing, mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. And that's what he's speaking about, God rending the heavens and coming down. Charles G. Finney, a great revivalist of a past generation, said, "Revival is nothing else than a new beginning of obedience to God." And obedience, we're going to see, is one of the qualities and qualifications for experiencing true revival. And Stephen Olford, I had the joy of working with him on several occasions, and this man now also has gone on to be with the Lord, but he said this, "Waiting for general revival is no excuse for not enjoying personal revival right now." And I want you to know that while we wish that there were a great sweep of revival spiritually across the land of Canada today, while we're waiting for that and praying for that, God can give you personal revival. God can give you as a married couple personal revival in your home. God can give to a church a great and mighty moving of the Holy Spirit that brings fresh revival of the Lord upon us right here. And let's be continuing to claim that. I'm so grateful for the evidence of much prayer that takes place in this congregation. It's been a joy to be with you on your Wednesday evenings when a wonderful group of people gather weekly to seek the Lord in believing prayer. And there are many other times when prayer takes place. Some of you men get together on Thursday mornings at 6:30 in the morning in this place. God bless you for that as you prayerfully seek God's hand upon the ministry here and pray for revival. And our women are in prayer. There's a prayer chain here, and many of you get emails about special prayer requests. And on Sunday evenings before the evening service, there's a prayer meeting. And I don't know all the other prayer meetings that are taking place, but God's at work when people pray. Now, I want you to go a little farther and notice with me that revivals thrive on the Word, and the Word is exalted in revivals. And that's why I want you now to be looking with me at our text, Psalm 119. And you notice this psalm is a heart cry to God for revival. And revival, in fact, it has nine cries for revival, for rejuvenation. And each one of these identifies something. As I was studying this and doing an inductive study, I didn't take other books. I just took Psalm 119, and for several days I just sat with that psalm, just trying to find what is it saying to me as I just look at these verses, these 176 verses. And each one of those times that I find the word revive has something to do with what must happen in my life in order for me to receive revival. And here's the first one. First of all, my humility. Revival will not come to a person who is allowing pride to dominate his or her life. You'll see that in verse 25. And we read it a moment ago. "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." That's humility. Clinging to the dust, feeling I am nothing apart from what God can do in my life. No room for pride here. This, by the way, seems to reflect something of what the Beatitudes expresses. In the first Beatitude, you remember Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And that's what's being expressed here by the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 25. "My soul clings to the dust." This is speaking of true spirit humility. Some of you know that Adrian and I have 5 children. We have 1 daughter. She's the oldest, and then 4 sons follow her. Our daughter, some years ago when she was in her early motherhood time, she and her husband Wes, who live over in Ancaster, and she had at that point 2 little babies, and she was feeling it as a young mother. And she wrote this, and I asked her if it'd be okay if I could read it. And she's dealing with this very verse, 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. And this is what she wrote. This has somehow got to be significant right now. I am overcome with the lowly and grinding duties of being a mom, the persistent whines of a 2-year-old, the stinky diapers from end to end of a 4-month-old, the stuffiness from a relentless sinus cold and headache, and the ever-present knowledge that my husband, patient that he is waiting for some quality time too. This has reduced me to a groveling, harebrained, sunken-eyed slump of weariness. I am flat out on the bottom, with not even the energy or will to look up and say, help! Why don't they warn you about this in those prenatal classes? I guess this is where, as it is said, the rubber meets the road, but then why am I left behind in this bewildering cloud of dust? Somehow, I need renewing, a new sense of my worth as a mom, a new consciousness of eternal values, a new confidence in God's strength, not my own, since I don't have any anyway. I need a new purpose for being, a new willingness to let go of myself, a new attitude of serving, a new portion of patience and strength, and a new shot of creativity to make life go above the mundane. And then it says, parenthesis, interrupted by yet another of life's preschooler emergencies, blood and bruises this time, from a fall, I think. And then it says, later. It's 8:30 p.m. now, and the girls are asleep. After much agonizing in my tired mind, I finally purpose to do things right and meet God in His Word. Just read Psalm 19, which, by the way, is so similar to Psalm 119, all about the Word of God. She said, just read Psalm 19 and am reminded of His majesty and His handiwork. It exceeds all my discouragements and dreams. I am renewed in spirit, body, and mind according to Thy Word. Well, that's just an expression of what maybe you have felt at times when you've come to the end of yourself, and I hope you've also come to discover that when you're groveling in the dust, the Lord Jesus is there to revive and renew you. Now, I want you to see the second time we find this word, revive, here in Psalm 119, and we find it in verse 37. Look at it here. It says, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. I would like to call this my repentance. I'm turning away from what is sinful and turning back to the Lord and His Word. And if there is not true repentance, there can be no true revival. We need not only humility, but we need accompanying repentance. And I want you to notice that as I think about the Beatitudes, that kind of goes along with the second beatitude, which says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Why do we mourn? We mourn over the sinfulness of our own self and our own nature and the sin that's around us. And when we mourn and grieve over sin and repent from sin, then we put ourselves in a position where God can rejuvenate us, can revive us. I grew up, when I was born, there was no such thing as TV. My dad and mom, when TV was first coming out, said, "We will never have a TV." And they kept that vow until a lady in the church where my dad was pastor died and willed her television to them. So what do you do? So mom and dad did set up the television in the living room, but my mom made a sign that covered the whole screen. And she put on that sign this Bible verse. She did it from the good old King James, which says it this way: "Keep back mine eyes from beholding vanity." Wouldn't that be? We should make a whole bunch of those for everybody. "Keep back mine eyes from beholding vanity." Now, there was occasion when they would watch television. But when they did that, mom would just take that which was hanging down on front of the screen and set it up on top. So that while they were watching, they still had the message, "Keep back mine eyes from beholding vanity." Now, this verse has to do with repentance and turning away from all that is evil. I want you to see the third time that we read a few moments ago from verse 40, that we find this word revive. It's in verse 40, and it says, "Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness." Now, what that is telling us is this: this is my desire. I really long for this. I long for your precepts. And this reminds me of the fourth beatitude, where Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." As Psalm 42, the psalmist says, "As the deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God." And to long for the Lord's word, oh, what a wonderful thing. So this is my desire. Do I really have a desire for the Word of God? And one of the best ways to determine whether you are revived or not is to say, okay, I've got choices of a lot of different kinds of literature here. What would I rather read? Where would my first real desire be? Is it to read God's book, to take my Bible and just sit there and meditate on God's wonderful word? That is a sign of a heart that is being revived. And I hope this week that every one of us here, I see children, I see young people, I see adults of all ages, I hope that every one of us will ask God, "Give me a hunger and a thirst after righteousness and after your word." And one of the proofs of God's of you letting God do that in your heart is what you're going to do with your Bible this week. I hope every day you'll find yourself taking time, ample time, in the Word of God. I want you to see something else. Go on now to verse 88. Here's the next time we find this word, revive. It says, "Revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep," or that would mean obey, "the testimony of your mouth." And what I'd like to say here is that revival will call for my obedience. I will obey, or keep as it says here, "the testimony of your mouth." Now, what is that testimony? That's the Bible. That's given to us, God-breathed, right from God's mouth. This is from Him. And a proof that revival is becoming a part of your life is if you have a sense of obedience, total obedience to the will of God. Can I give you yet another one? If you'll move on to verse 107, here again is the next time we find the psalmist using the word revive. And he says in verse 107, "I am afflicted very much." In other words, I got a lot of problems. And then he says, revive me, O Lord. And again he says, how? According to your word. And what this verse is saying is, I'm a needy person. My need, I'm afflicted very much. And when you recognize your need for the Lord, if you're a self-satisfied person, self-sufficient in all your ways, then you're not going to be seeking God for revival. But when you sense, I'm a needy person, then you're going to cry out to the Lord, but you can meet my need. And, oh, revive me. And Lord, how to do that? According to the promises that you've made in your word. Here's another word I'd like you to see. And by the way, before you move on for that, I was just thinking about how Adrian and I, when we first met each other and began a friendship, in our first dates, we decided, I think I've told you this before, that we would memorize Scripture together. And that's how I got to know her, through the Scriptures and how she thought about them as we talked about the Bible. And we chose, the very first passage we chose to memorize was Psalm 86, which says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And that first verse says, I am poor and needy. And that's exactly what the psalmist is saying here. When we recognize how needy we are, then we put ourselves in a position where God can begin to bring his revival into our lives. Look now at verse 149. Here's the next time we find this word revive. And I read it to you. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. What's he saying here? This is my prayer. He says, hear my voice. I'm crying out to you, Lord. And may I say to you that prayer is essential if revival is to be experienced. May the Lord quicken and make alive and vital the prayer life of every one of us. Personal prayer, family prayer, church prayer. And may I encourage all the dads and moms here to make this primary in your lives, to pray and to lead your children in prayer. Do it in a way that is appropriate for the different age groups that you have growing up in your family. But make sure that your children know that you pray. As I told you, I grew up in a preacher's home. I remember on several occasions as a boy, I heard something that disturbed me. It was my dad in his bedroom groaning. I said, what's wrong? And then I realized my dad was praying. He was just pouring out his heart to the Lord for the people that were under his care and for true revival to come to himself and to the church where he was a pastor. And I've heard that groan on a number of occasions as I was a boy growing up. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that your children need to hear you groan, but they should hear you pray in such a way that they know you're a praying man, you're a praying woman, and you mean it with all your heart. May I suggest this to you? Did you realize that you don't have to say, okay, we'll have a prayer time now. As the children are rushing off to school, you can just say, now, let's pray. Lord, bless these dear ones as they head into this day and keep them safe and pure for you and whatever the Lord gives on your heart to pray for them. And when there are special needs and problems that rise in your family, immediately, you can just pause just for a moment, right in the discussion, and just breathe a prayer, asking the Lord, talking about with the Lord about whatever that issue may be. And let prayer just be the natural thing that happens. As easy as talking to one another is talking to God. And as you bring your family into that conversation with God, it brings blessing into their lives and will teach them how they, as they grow up and establish their own homes, they can also be in continual prayer as a normal, natural action in their families. I was talking to a pastor recently who told me, you know, but I never have really prayed with my wife. Now, this is a pastor who told me that. I said, yeah, I think you got a problem. And he's working on it. And I'm now checking on him. And he's seeking to make progress. And he told me just about 3 weeks ago that he now is praying with his wife and with his children. But you see, it's even possible for pastors to just put prayer, well, this is a thing we do in church. But no, it's a thing we do at home. And it's the thing we do in our own personal lives. And prayer is essential for revival. Let me take you a little farther in Psalm 119. Look at verse 159. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. And what I could say here is this deals with my love. If I'm going to be revived, where's my true love? I love the Word of God. Consider how I love your precepts. As later on the psalmist says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And love God's Word with all your heart. So those are seven things that are required if revival can really take place in my life. What are they? My humility, my repentance, my longing desire, my obedience, my sense of need, my prayer, and my love. But there are two other things that are essential for revival that don't come from me. They come from God. And we see the first one in verse 154. His redemption. Look at it, what it says, plead my cause and redeem me, revive me according to your word. If Jesus had not died on the cross and paid the price for our redemption, revival would not be possible at all. But aren't you glad he did? And as a result, revival is possible for every true believer. Plead my cause and redeem me. Yes, he will do that. And one other thing. Finally, we see it again in verse 156. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Why? Because of his tender mercies. I'd like to call it his compassion. His compassion, because he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. And if he didn't love you, revival would not be possible. My friend, I've got good news for you. God loves you. And he wants you to be revived spiritually, wide awake, so that your life may be fulfilled in every measure. Well, as we wrap it up here, yeah, some of you may... Have you ever had insomnia? You couldn't sleep? Well, let me suggest a wonderful cure for insomnia is somnia. In the Psalms. Just come back to the Psalms and just... let this word just saturate through your heart. I was talking to Brother Jamie this evening before and after our prayer service. He was telling me about how the Lord awakens him sometimes about 2 o'clock in the morning, and for the next 4 hours he's awake, but he just is meditating on the Lord and his word. Don't you like that? Now, if you find that you are awake in the middle of the night, one of the best ways to get back to sleep is not to count sheep, but talk to the shepherd. And you'll find that that fellowship with him in his word will revive you and bless your heart. Well, it works. God's word truly does revive me. And... would you say it with me? Psalm 119, verse 50. Here's another time we find the word, but this is a testimony now. Your word revives me. That's what the Bible will do. And here's another time it says it. So this is a total of 11 times you'll find the word revive in Psalm 119. And these two, the verse 93 says, by them, that is by your word, your words, you have revived me. And God will do that for every one of us. Aren't you glad? God bless you. Let's sing together.